Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone.
Good afternoon. Good morning, whatever it is. This is Carl from Incredibly Strange Films, Film and Stuff, and, of course, Deviant Legion. And today we're doing a commentary watch on The Manchurian Candidate in memoriam to Angela Lansbury. And with me today is the incredible Doc Sludge, a.k.a. Eric Omland. Hello, sir. How are you?
I am good. How you doing?
I'm doing okay. Cannot complain. Does not help. Now, Angela Lansbury passed away last month, right before I went on vacation. So we didn't get a chance to really do anything as far as something to commemorate her passing. So that's why we're doing The Manchurian Candidate today. Now, this is the original one, the 1962 version. It is available on Amazon Prime for rental for $3.99. We are currently 3 seconds in, right where the MGM logo starts. And just to keep in mind that this is a 1962 movie, and even to this day, it's rated PG-13 for thematic difficulties. Let's just leave it at that. We'll get into that, and we're going to go straight into this because this is a two-hour film, and we will probably go into, well, I'm sure we'll go into extra innings here and overtime. So we are at 3 seconds in. We are right where the Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer trademark is, www.mgm.com. And are you ready, Doc?
I am more than ready. I've actually never seen this one before, and, you know, everybody knows I'm more of like a horror monster, chaotic, all that stuff. I don't really do politics very much, but you're making this movie sound really good, and the fact that it has Frank Sinatra fighting Henry Silva with karate chops, it's got to be worth watching.
Absolutely. So we're going to start and do the countdown. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, go. And here we start. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, go.
And the line
and there's Mr.
keyboard.
So the first thing I need, well, actually, let's just go to Korea 1952. So, of course, black and white. Not too many films that really dealt with the Korean War. There were a couple, particularly Steel Helmet by Sam Fuller. There you see Sinatra it's a house of ill repute. And that is Lawrence Harvey.
No, Lady by Subir. Okay.
I'm afraid our state rank don't poop. Well, maybe he's got to go back.
And they're on patrol, and basically all hell breaks loose. And look, it's Henry Silva.
Yes, and he's not karate chopping yet, but we'll get there.
Got it. So this is all the setup. You need to know what's going on here.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so the music, which you're hearing, is by David Amram. He was a classical composer also, popular, very interesting composer. He was the first protege of Leonard Bernstein. I actually met him one time when he was doing a concert down in the Meatpacking District. And when the theme comes up, you probably have heard the theme before.
I actually have the volume down very, very low with captions on because I'm actually like really, really close to the source of the movie, so I can't really hear the music because I have everything turned down, so we won't get feedback and cause issues all throughout. You know. Anyway, but that is good to know.
But so the camera focuses on Harvey and Frank Sinatra. The Koreans have captured them, and they're airlifting them out. The North Koreans have captured them. And now here's the theme. And it is brilliant. I love this music.
I can't.
And James Gregory, you'll know, and John MacIver, whose birthday is today, you'll know. I have the soundtrack to this. And I love the soundtrack.
Everyone,
I could go off for a good 30 minutes on the music itself. But there's a lot more to this, so you're not going to hear 30 minutes about the music. Trust me on that. The director of this was John Frankenheimer. This is part of his Paranoia trilogy, 7 Days in May. This film in seconds. He also did Ronin, French Connection 2, so many great films. The Train, which was the first film I ever saw of his, was The Train. This was also a favorite book of John F. Kennedy, and I'll get into that a little further later.
That's really kind of eerie. That's eerie right there.
Well, that's part of the reason why this film was pulled out of distribution. And there she is. There's the lady of the hour.
I was expecting something a little different because she looked exactly like there as she does exist. Murder, She Wrote. I was expecting something different.
Now the interesting thing is she's playing his mother, right? She's playing
right.
His mother. And she's only 6 years older than Lawrence Harvey at this point in real life.
Uh-huh.
And her husband is James Gregory. You would know him if you remember he was Inspector Luger on Barney Miller.
He's reading the script. That's why he can talk that way.
No. Well, yes. Mm-hmm. Which, of course, is a lie.
Mm-hmm.
Now, wouldn't you like a plane like that? Seriously?
Oh, yeah. Ooh. Burn.
Whoa. Damn.
Because you're still wearing a button shirt to bed. You got to stop doing that, man. You'll sleep better.
So as an actor, Sinatra was actually gave a couple really good performances, and this is one of them. Oh, this scene. Okay, the whole thing about the flower club. Now, it won't be this particular scene, but they come back to it. But you'll see a shot here. And this might be it, actually, where they go around and show everybody. And that's exactly what they're doing here. Okay, so the shot, Frankenheimer came from live TV. And you're basically seeing a rotating stage here. Okay, now it'll stop here. And it keeps going. And you see all the women in the...
Are these the same women that are featured in Monty Python's Clapping Old Women? Clips?
No.
He says jokingly? Okay. I know. I was just being silly.
I know. You're allowed to joke. Now take a look.
Wait
now
a minute. What?
Exactly. Now, this gentleman is K.D. K-H-E-I-G-H. D-E-I-G-H. He was actually in Dr. No. And he's wonderful. I love him in this.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I see. That's what they're seeing. And the reality is right here.
Ah. Yes. So this is all about hypnosis, of course.
Mm-hmm.
Silva. And you've seen him too. I can't think of the actor's name, but
I can't either. Boy.
Okay, this dialogue is just wonderful. And how they switch between the woman and KD, it's just like,
just random how that lady has a knife.
Mm-hmm. And the switching between what they see and what actually is so well done. On that one shot I was mentioning all around, they did that in terms of they would shoot people, and as they're shooting the next group, the other actors would come in and sit down, and they do that all continually. So it was always moving. very difficult shot to do. I remember seeing that for the first time, like, how the fuck did they do that?
Oh, excuse me.
I like it.
So he's not a communist. Thank you very much. Have a nice day.
This is great. The kindest, bravest, warmest, wonderful human being. So Stephen always says that about me. Carl Kafer is the bravest, most wonderful person on the planet. And you've seen him, too. That's David Wayne.
Okay.
I would strongly recommend that.
So now what you're talking about is this is a definite throwback to the UAC, House Un-American Activities Committee. That was McCarthy. And so this is very, very much, you know, taking a deep look at this and a very, very, you know, negative look.
Right. And the thing is about the House or the Un-American Activities Board or whatever they were called, they had 90% of their information was freaking wrong. And they went after people who were not communists. And they ruined many people's lives and careers because they got a bug up their ass because they didn't like how somebody thought.
Well, don't think it's not happening now. That's all I'm going to say. But the one thing is the shot you see. Take a look at the shot right now. Take a look at the monitor. How he does this. There's a monitor where you can see James Gregory, and then you can see the rest. And this is his ability, Frankenheimer's ability of using live television and knowing how it's connected and that. This is very unusual as far as how it's filmed. And I want to bring that out. See the two James Gregorys there?
You know, kind of a ironic twist of timing. I actually have a television broadcast camera sitting on my dining room table right now.
Wow.
Yeah, it's not one from like this era. It's actually from the mid 90s. Unfortunately,
right.
I do not have the analog equipment to actually make it function. But that's really, really expensive. But I grabbed it because the memories for me. That I used to work at a local cable access studio, and they are effectively shutting down and moving to a new location. So their equipment was sold to a secondhand shop, actually the second time around, to be specific, in Leicester, New York. And I got one of the cameras I used to use, one of the tripods I used to use, and the actual outside of the building front sign for the studio. For one heck of a good price.
Of course, he's fucking lying. Now, it's very interesting, and I want you to think about this, 1962. Now, of course, Kubrick did it in Dr. Strangelove with James Earl Jones, but you have a black soldier here. And this is his dream. This is what he sees. So it's the Russians, and it's the Chinese, and it's the Koreans, North Koreans, that are all thinking up this plot. So,
he's going to kill the little drummer boy.
Yes, he is. Now, Lawrence Harvey was a real interesting actor. I don't know a lot of him, but I know two films, and this is one of them that I absolutely fucking love that he's in. He also, right before he died, he did a film called Welcome to Arrow Beach, which is also called Tender Flesh. And he's smiling. Jesus.
So, it's a surprising amount of goo for a movie of this kind. I'm actually surprised.
Yeah, well, this is rated PG-13. Keep that in mind.
Yes. Yeah.
To this day, in 2022.
I mean, for a PG-13 from the 60s is extremely tame compared to the PG-13 of today. I mean, we're definitely, it's a lot different.
But there's a lot of thematic stuff that hasn't come up yet that might curl certain parts of your hair.
I don't know. We'll see.
It's warm as fuck. And that's actually used for comic effect. So you're starting to see that this is not exactly normal. Right? You are seeing that, Doc?
It's a very shade of weird.
Yeah.
It is the warmest, most kindest shade of weird.
By the way, New York in the 60s, man. I would have fucking loved to have been in New York in the 60s.
Yeah. I really would love to have been in New York during the 70s and the 80s, like late 60s through the 80s for the Grindhouse era on 42nd Street.
Oh, yeah. I hit the Grindhouse right at the end. I moved to New York in 81.
And, you know, my father actually lived on Staten Island way, way, way back. I don't know much about his history there, so. Mm-hmm.
Staten Island, I had a couple of church gigs when I first moved back to New York, get to Staten Island on public transportation, 2 hours.
Yeah, unfortunately, I never knew my father long enough or good enough to actually get any information from his New York City days. So, I don't know much, but anyway. Is it me or do the little little poles, one of them on that lamp look like a skull? The one that's wiggling on the right?
Mm-hmm.
Or a shrunken head.
So this whole thing about solitaire. This is how they control.
Everything's coming to fade.
And that's the way I play, too. Three cards. There it is, the Queen of Diamonds. Very important.
The use of the Red Queen here makes me wonder about different movies that have had a, air quotes, Red Queen. Makes me think of it's referring to this movie.
Oh yeah, I would not be surprised.
The good old traction beds.
Yep. So the actor who's playing the Korean guy, you'll see. He's just wonderful.
So we decided we needed to hit him with the truck to make things more believable.
Well, of course, he wasn't hit by a truck, but that's the...
Yeah, I know. Yes, Russians do have sense of humor. It is very twisted, very strong, and involves hitting things with vodka.
So basically,
really
you've got a sleeper agent, which was a big thing in the 60s and 70s. The whole idea that communism was taking over and our way of life was going to no longer be because of communism. And you know what? It goes in pendulum swings, and I'm just saying we might be there again.
Yeah, not communism, but something else. It's not as good.
Yeah,
exactly.
I love this.
We would have him assassinate you, Mr. Smiley Pants. Okay. Well, all right, we'll have him kill one of your people. I'll just get up down on this floor, no problem. I called it. I like this Korean guy, this character.
Oh, he's great. He's fucking great. I love him. And in his other roles that he had, he was also just an absolute hoot.
His delivery. I love this character.
Yeah.
Sure. Hey, if you want to wear a bow with a bad man, makes you happy, go for it. I heard the
first time. Absolutely. Again, the boa, everything, you know, everything about this movie is just a little off, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's the point. Robert Condon, when he wrote his novels, they were just so odd in the sense of humor and everything. Of course, he kills Gaines there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we can see brains splattered on the wall, but we can't see a man in a boa get choked by another man at 4 o'clock in the morning in bed.
No.
Gotcha.
Yeah, I definitely think I've got to get Scout to a not manicurist, but a person who does things with fluff and fur on animals.
Yeah.
Yeah, because he's a little bit too squirrely for me to actually clip his nails alone and they're beginning to grow. It just so everybody knows, I have a senior kitty who's been living with me for the last 2 months. His name is Scout. And he's an absolute sweetheart. And he needs a little bit of a trim on that and just a little bit of a haircut, too. So, and he's doing very well. And he's enjoying the movie. He's sitting right behind me on the couch, just kind of watching it and being all cute and stuff. So he gives it a 5 out of 5.
So this whole thing, you're seeing that basically he's bored and he's got books and he doesn't know what to do, Sinatra.
Is it paid? Now, if it's paid, take advantage of it. That man is unstable. Have a nice night.
Okay, so you're going to probably see the most strange meet cute you've ever seen in your life.
Did
okay?
You say meet cute?
Yeah, meet cute. That is a term where a male in a movie meets the primary female that he falls in love with.
Oh, I thought you said meat suit. I'm like, okay.
No, meat cute. Okay, and there's Janet Leigh.
Cute.
Okay, check out the dialogue. Tell me if you even fucking understand it.
Oh, she just popped in like right there.
Mm-hmm. To smoke on a train. That would be a wonderful thing.
There's a smoke on a train.
Like.
Smoke on a train. Smoke on a plane.
Okay, check this out. Oh, by the way, that's a Zippo, my hometown. Shout out to Bradford.
Wait, what?
Okay, just...
She's an agent.
So the interesting thing is that Jess Franco, who did a movie called The Sexual Perversions of Eugenie, supposedly named the character after Janet Leigh. Just wanted you to know.
This is so disjointed.
Exactly.
Okay.
As I said, it is the strangest meet cute in the history of film because it smells of brown soap and beer. What the hell does that smell like?
Sweet, very syrupy, and nasty.
This is like Ron Bergman territory. This film is having existential, damn it, there's a word. It's having a crisis.
So imagine this. You're seeing this. This is verbatim in the book. How do you think you take this if you're reading this in a book? It's like you have to reread it three times. Like, what the fuck are they saying?
Yeah, it's like, is somebody having an acid trip or a complete mental meltdown?
Well, that's what he's trying to show, is that you know, Marco is having a mental breakdown. Of course, the book has a lot more description than what you're seeing here. Now, I didn't read the book until after I saw the film, because I generally would do that. I'd see a film and then want to read the book it was based on, to see how it was adapted. But once I read this, I read every goddamn thing I could of Condon's. I love Robert Condon's stuff.
Agent either that or his mind or one of the agents that's trying to keep his things under control, or that was his mind completely beginning to break.
So the interesting thing is, of course, nowadays, you had Henry Silva playing the Chinese, and that would not go over these days.
Wasn't there an issue with that in Breakfast from at Tiffany's also?
Mm-hmm.
With a white actor playing a very, very, very stereotyped Japanese man?
Mm-hmm. But this works. This works. This isn't Mickey Rooney doing his character in Breakfast at Tiffany's.
Right. This isn't stereotype. This is not a racial stereotype. This is playing a character.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's no over-exaggeration. It's just Henry Silva playing a Korean agent.
Now, of course, he is using a more stereotypical Chinese type of accent. So he's pushing it that way. So it's been a little while since we've seen Angela. She becomes more and more important as we go along.
She's the mastermind of this.
Okay, check this out. So he's asking how many communists are there in the Japan?
There are 42 communists.
No. You'll get the joke. Hold on. You'll get the joke. It's subtle, but it's there. What does he have now?
Ketchup.
Nope. He's got Heinz ketchup.
57
cars.
Oh, jeez. That's funny.
Here we go. First use of karate.
Well, we all do know that Henry Silva is a badass.
So there's a segment here. When they get to the table, okay, right here.
There.
He actually breaks his thumb. And they continue this with his thumb broken. And if you take a look, you can see that his thumb is on his other hand. How they mask it. By the way, it's a hell of a fight.
It is. It's definitely better than those old serial fights I used to see in, like, Flash Gordon.
Yeah. Yeah.
Picking up a chair, bashing him.
Oh, he's getting pummeled.
Completely
unable. So the thing here is, how does she know that he's in the? To ask for our first date.
Yeah, where to pick up girls? Jail. Okay.
Yeah, just amazing stuff here.
Isn't there like a TV show on the Learning Channel or something that's like people who like meet somebody, like a regular person meets another person in prison, they fall in love and they get together and all hell breaks loose usually?
Right. In this case, all hell broke loose and they get together because of it.
Yeah.
So, you know, I would like to meet a woman so crazy to meet me when I'm, like, totally fucked up like he is and, like, cancel everything and fall in love with me immediately. Not exactly the most believable plot point I've ever seen.
This whole relationship that they're building or the conversations are having just make no sense.
Yeah.
It must be some form of code or reprogramming.
No, it's just weird. Trust me on this. I've seen it. There's no code. There's no reprogramming. It's just fucking weird. At least he found a woman.
Yeah.
So now basically everything has led up to these two interacting with Sinatra knowing something's wrong. And Lawrence Harvey not really understanding what's going on because he's been brainwashed.
Remember, kids, swingers are not communists.
No.
Boop. You poor simple boob. What is he, channeling Skeletor? That phone number just to work back then.
Yeah.
Dude, that's another thing that kind of threw me. I'm like, what the hell is that significance? Now we know.
So he's starting to prove everything that
Oh, that's real nice.
So now you're getting to the point where they're starting to believe him.
Camera action. Oh, gosh, those old
Remember those photocopy machines in the back, man? I remember those.
Oh, yeah, those are the transparency projectors. They've got a it's a specialized light scattering lens. And that you we used to do, remember those from the elementary school? And high school, too, because at the time, when I was in high school, we didn't have all these lovely computers with flat screens. Which I'm definitely not complaining because I love flat screen.
Good. He's a Buddhist.
What?
Okay, the humor is intentional, but it's weird. Okay?
It really is.
What? Now, I should mention about the history of this film. We haven't really gotten into this yet. So this was Kennedy's favorite. This was one of his favorite novels. So this was put out and released Christmas of 1962, I think. Or actually, it didn't really was released until 63 in the U.S. But as soon as it was released, it was held up. That's right. Dan Kennedy got assassinated. And they pulled this film, and Sinatra was a very close friend of Kennedy's. And so he basically held on to the rights for years, you know, out of deference to Kennedy. That this was actually released to the general public. And during that time, I was in New York, and they premiered it at the Film Forum. And I was there for the premiere, the second night of the premiere. And they had I can't think who it was, but the main reviewer, maybe it was Robert Christgau of the Village Voice. And he did a whole thing on the film. And I saw this and I fell in love with this movie. It's just great.
I'm really enjoying the high level of weirdness to it.
Oh, why do you think I love this movie? This is not normal. It ain't even close to being fucking normal. And other people are not lovable. I'm not lovable. I keep telling Steven he should say that to me. He won't. He won't grace me with it, unfortunately.
You know, we should really get with Steve and schedule the Around Thanksgiving Turkey of a Film.
Okay.
We should
do. Oh, he definitely wants to do it. We were planning to do something last night. Unfortunately, he's not feeling well, which unfortunately with Steven Rain, with what he's going through, is relatively normal, unfortunately.
Yeah.
I was very lucky when I was on vacation to see him, and we had a really good day together.
I'm glad you guys got together. That was excellent. I'm glad. I'm also very happy we've been doing shows together again. So
absolutely.
Thinking that certain fish movie, but we can explore.
Well, he mentioned that the last time I talked to him, like that. He says, whatever you do, make sure he picks either a better or worse movie than that. Seriously.
Oh yeah, he said the same thing to me too. I'm like, okay, I can do that. We may still go a little bit fishy, though. And we're not talking Jaws. We're talking, like, monstrous fish.
So now this is a flashback. And so she is No, it's not a flashback. Excuse me. She's the daughter of the character of John MacGyver, who you will meet here momentarily.
Excuse me. Sorry about that. Tourniquet, honey. No. We do not tourniquet. Sorry. Unless you're going to lose the limb anyway, do not tourniquet. Basic Girl Scout knowledge.
John MacGyver. Have you ever seen him before?
He looks familiar. Is he a character actor? Ooh, what is that in the background?
He's a character actor. He was in several TV shows and movies. It's actually his birthday today. November 5th.
It has a very interesting set of horseshoes on the wall there.
Yep. Give me a second, and I will give you some information on Tom MacGyver. Just a moment.
Yes.
Breakfast at Tiffany's. The Wild Wild West. Midnight Cowboy.
Right.
The Glass Bottom Boat. He was in several TV series. But a good, solid character actor. Johnny Cool, which was Henry Silva's only starring role in America, at least. I know he was in a... Twilight Zone, too. I'm sure of that. Love how he's the backing with the eagle and the wings and that.
And the American shield, yeah.
Yeah, this is a flashback, by the way.
Your mother's a mean lady. She called me names, so I sued her.
I was lovable.
Air flashback.
Oh. So the interesting thing that I'm noticing in that, when I think of this movie, I think of Angela Lansbury being the crux of this movie, which she is. But she's really not in that movie that long.
Oh, we're going to Mommy Dearest territory here. No
one. Oh, yeah. Here. Okay. Yeah, it gets worse. And, of course, at this point in time, we were definitely in a Cold War with Russia.
Yes. And,
you know, this was...
No, I'm sorry. 1962,
Bay of Pigs. So one of the things that is showing up here, and I do want to make clear, is that you're starting to get to sympathize with Lawrence Harvey. And one of the things about this film that I really like is his way of playing this character. Because he becomes very, very open, like in this scene, where you can really feel how broken he is. And you believe this, okay? You believe this breakdown. And that is really applause for him for doing this. but I love to play poker.
Yeah, I love these 50s and 60s style bars. You know, my grandparents, like back when I was younger, my grandparents were still around, and they had a nice ranch style home with a finished basement, and the basement had a bar. And whenever we had family gatherings, we'd all be playing poker, and, you know, having drinks except for those who are not of age and just enjoying everybody's company. And those are back in the days. And it kind of reminds me of that.
Now, okay. So it was, so this is the whole thing where he hears, why don't you play a little solitaire, playing solitaire. And here you go. Why don't you go to Central Park and go jump in the lake? And guess what he does?
Exactly what he does. I've never been to Central Park, but it looks beautiful.
It really is something. It really is something. It's very special.
Now, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Well, it's a real respite for people in Manhattan. And each borough has its own park. So, you know, Brooklyn has Prospect Park. Bronx has where the Bronx Zoo is.
No, I've actually had a little factoid about my past in New York City. I've actually been there in the Museum of Natural History. They have a biodiversity wing. And back in 1998, when I was an Eagle, or my Boy Scout project was to help the New York River Otter Project, which was down through NYSEG and RG&E, to bring river otters back to New York because they were actually hunted to extinction in the area. So because of our efforts through my Boy Scout troop and everything, we raised a lot of money. We were able to sponsor three otters. And all the releases in Letchworth State Park were all filmed. And there was this whole big thing about the New York River Otter Project and the biodiversity of otters coming back to New York and how that was going to affect the ecology. And there, in the biodiversity wing of the museum, there was a whole big display, and I was part of it. And it was the coolest thing. Queen, baby. The queen. Are you still there, Carl?
Yeah, I'm still here. So
oh,
what we've got.
Quiet.
Yeah, I know. I like how they, you know, for the time, they're really getting into the psychological profiles and things like that.
Right.
And they're smiling like Fu Manchu.
Trigger.
There you go. Okay, so you know it's the Queen of Diamonds that represents his mother. Have you decided who his American contact is yet?
Wait a minute. What if it's Sinatra and he doesn't realize it?
Well,
wait, no.
I
think it's time. Is the American contact his mother?
Well, Queen of Diamonds, what do you think?
I'm thinking it could be. Or the bartender.
Mm-hmm. No, it's not the bartender because that was just like he's telling a story and it came out. So it's not the bartender.
Okay. Don't think, just do. Okay, Yoda.
Yeah. So, right now, what's your thoughts on Angela Lansbury?
I don't like her character. I actually think that that's... I actually think that that's part of it. I remember one time Vincent Price was in an interview and he talked about his character he played in Witchfinder General. And there was a woman that came up to him and said that, I absolutely hate you for what you did in that movie. I hate your character. I hate it. And Vincent Price, in the most eloquent way, said to this woman, then I've done my job. And thank you so much for feeling
that
way.
Oh, absolutely.
That's kind of like the condensed version.
Chatty way you treated her, bitch.
Yeah,
she's a bitch right now, okay?
Oh, yeah. Yep.
She's evil and she's a bitch, but it gets worse. A whole cake made of caviar.
Oh, that's too much fishy.
And she's a little Bo Peep. That's Kato's.
Okay there, Helga.
Or a little Bo Peep or whatever.
Yeah. His mother is the agent.
Yep. Okay, here we go. This is a hell of a speech.
You've been watching through the window and you act kind of strange.
Of course, she has the Queen of Diamonds.
There you go.
I forgot there was this little switch of what I forgot that the. Never mind. Anyway, we're just watching the movie.
Movie good. Actually, yes, it is.
So MacGyver is really interesting. Played these erudite British characters. He was part of the British entourage in Hollywood, even though I think he was actually born of British parents here in the States. I'd have to check. Hold on, mate.
Okay.
I can find that out. I have him up. Just a second. No, he was actually born in New York City, but of British parents. There you go.
Oh, okay. Cool.
Okay. Isolism. McCarthyism. And think about our current political situation in the Republican Party. There's a lot of prescience here in this film. And I'm not saying to anyone, we are coming up on Tuesday for the midterm elections. But suppose you're in a party and you're standing against somebody in your own party, and you can see what's happened. So that's what's going on. There's all sorts of political chicanery here. Of course, he's gone now.
He done ran off.
Let's get there. Okay, that comes out of nowhere.
Yeah. And then we're going to have, everybody's going to have waffles. And then we're going to go to the pet store and buy an iguana.
And then we're going to go to Disneyland. Yay. And then watch Godzilla movies just for you.
Oh. And then we're going to start eating different parts and different pizzas of the air conditioner. You didn't laugh. I was doing a Sputnik Swope reference. Remember,
mm-hmm.
You can't eat air conditioner?
Yeah.
And that, my friends and fellow listeners, was from a movie watch from quite a while ago.
So, again, I think it should be mentioned that I think Morris Harvey does a hell of a job here. Because he's asked to play so many different levels of this character.
Question. Well, it's the questionable type of question that I'm questioning why you're questioning.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, wow. That really, really worked, and I can't believe it did. This whole thing is questionable.
Oh. And she's right. She's right.
Yeah.
You know, when he's not under the influence of his mother, he's fine. Okay, and that should tell you something about how his mother is.
Evil.
Really, really windy. I keep hearing this banging outside. It's because of the wind, power cables from the telephone lines to the house are slamming against the wall. So if you hear a in the background, everything's fine. When you sleep. Creepy.
So the...
I love the little TVs. We control the horizontal. We control the vertical.
Yes. Again, he does a lot with monitors and TVs. And notice that's blank.
Yeah.
And TV is blank. I'm
going to stop my mother. Man, that's mine.
Then she picked up the cards. Keep that in mind. It gets rough from here on in.
Don't tell me he's gonna. Poor guy.
Yeah. Oh, nice.
This one.
Great scene. And the milk too. That was something they pulled together. They couldn't. If you remember, you saw the blood on the back. And yep.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah. Told you it gets rough. Gets very rough. And suddenly there are real consequences. You know, as much as this is odd and strange, and the sense of humor and everything, it keeps you off balance, suddenly that shocks you back into reality. It's a very potent scene. Very potent scene. And he knows who did it, too. He knows. He knows Raymond did it.
What is this, prostate? No, prostrate. Oh, okay, gotcha.
So they're having the political convention. So they got, so he's going to be vice president. Tongwa.
How do you pronounce that? Very
careful. Tongwa. Yeah, okay, so look how his eyes, everything is just, you know, not moving except his mouth. It's an amazing piece of work.
Yes. And this is seriously good.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, just so everybody knows, our broadcast time, actually being live, is going to cut off in about 12 minutes. This movie should be going on a little bit after that, so if you want to catch the end, definitely tune in, come back to the show a little while after we're ended, and you'll be able to hear the full recording.
Mm-hmm.
Who's the American operator?
Yep. So now that you've gotten into this film, you know, and we were talking at the beginning where, you know, you're more into horror and things like that. Is this a scary fucking movie or what?
It is, because it's all psychological and brainwashing, manipulation, and everything like this has been attempted by multiple governments, including our own.
Yeah.
What was it, MK Ultra? Well, it was that program, I think.
Yeah. Oh.
God, that's so messed up.
Yeah. And guess who fucked him up?
Yeah, his mother.
Okay, this is the speech. If this is amazing.
Take your music some other place. Thank you. Goodbye. Have a nice day.
Now notice how they shoot her, how she looks a lot older, right, with the shadows and everything. That's all lighting. That's all designed with the shadows over her eyes and one side of her face.
Mm-hmm.
In the shots with him in the chair and her head over.
Just lay under it.
And here you go.
Ooh, just a little bit too much of a deep kiss there.
That's the whole point. That's the whole point. In the novel, it's much more explicit. Much more explicit.
Ooh.
But yes, we are talking incest.
I have a very strange feeling that this, well, not very strange, I have a very strong feeling that this movie is not going to end it very happily.
No. It's not. But it's going to surprise the fuck out of you. So in the novel, the ending is a little different.
Okay.
In that you'll notice that there's nobody there, right? And he's able to get there. In the novel, there are people there waiting for him, and he has to get around them. And so there's a whole chapter of, but they took that out because they wanted to end it the way they end it. Which is still the same way that it is in the novel, but they, you know, this is 2 hours as it is. With that particular segment, it'd be at least 215, 220.
Well, we're going to be going off the air, live air, in 3 minutes here, and I wanted to remind everybody that they can come back later and listen to the remainder of the show that has been recorded, and they should... be there after a little while of processing, say about half an hour or so.
Mm-hmm. Yep, 90 seconds before we're into overtime. So now, notice how one of the things I want to mention is, remember at the beginning of this, I talked about the score. And have you heard much music since then?
No.
You haven't. Basically, the music is right at the beginning. Right.
The Manchurian Candidate on Blu-ray from Criterion is actually... on sale for $19.95 instead of $40.
Yeah.
So that probably means the Eraserhead is on sale too. Yay!
And we're now officially into overtime.
Yes.
So, you know, Sinatra did some acting. He was in a film called The Detective and a number of films. But this is one of the few films where he really, you know, plays a character who, you know, denigrates himself and feels that he's not in control. Generally, he wanted to be, but this is, okay, so now we've got Frankenheimer doing his business. Look at all the action and how the cameras work and everything. The cuts, the editing.
Now, Mary, I haven't really talked about Angela Lansbury. She was actually, I think she was up for an Academy Award for this. But if she wasn't, she needed to be. This is a hell of a movie. I mean, look at the cuts here. There's like 40 cuts in 30 seconds.
Right.
And, of course, that's actual footage of the 60. No, some of it's from the 60s. Now, Twilight's Last Gleaming, that's another great political film starring Burt Lancaster that was done in the 70s. Just want to make that point.
Right.
He's looking.
Time is running out.
Yay.
This is my boomstick. Oh, wrong genre.
Of course, we're not saying much because this is something.
Yeah, this is, the suspense is like getting enough, thick enough to cut with a chainsaw. A lot of sweating in this film.
Oh, yeah.
Actually, the only movie I've ever seen more sweat in was Godzilla versus Mechagodzilla, but that was made like during the hot summer.
Also, The Good, Bad, and the Ugly. I think Eli Wallach just sweats like crazy during that.
Yeah.
And just an amazing.
Just no on the door.
Here we go. What's going to happen?
Well,
so he did break it, but he decided to kill his mother and his stepfather. That's made a little more clear in the novel.
Oof.
Yeah. And there you go. Packs a punch,
wow.
Doesn't it?
It does. It does, yes.
It packs a punch.
Very, very bleak. Very bleak.
I tend to like bleak. I'm just letting you know. I tend to like bleak because I'm a bit of a fucking cynic when it comes all down to it. So now that you have watched this movie and you were a virgin, so to speak, what's your thoughts?
I'm extremely impressed. I like I said earlier, I usually go for the more horror aspect of things, more monsters and mayhem and all that, but this was really freaking good. It actually did have a lot of horror aspects to it, not being in control of your own mind, you know, being forced to hurt the one you love. Yeah, this is very deep, very dark. Mm-hmm.
So I said at the beginning when we were talking about the film before the show, I was going to ask you a question. So I'm going to ask you this now. And the terms of villains in film, you know, we talk about Darth Vader and we talk about, you know, Hans Gruber and so on and so forth. How do you rate Mrs. Eisland?
And disgusting.
Okay.
She's pretty high. I mean, we've seen films where you have somebody like her doing something like she did and controlling somebody who's not directly biologically related to them.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that this is her son and the suggestion of incestuous activities and all that, it's vile. It is not cool.
Yeah. So I have always said that when I rank villains, she's top of my list. Seriously. And there's a couple reasons for that. One is that it's really set in the real world, for one. And also the sense of the vileness of her character, of the incest, of the controlling nature, which you see right at the beginning. And she's just fucking evil. Seriously. That woman, you know, and we talk about Angela Lansbury in terms of Jessica Fletcher and so on and so forth. Let's not forget, we didn't really talk about her stage work, but she was Mrs. Lovett, too, in Sweeney Todd.
Oh, yeah.
You know, she did play nasty big time. She was also the despicable mayor and Anyone Can Whistle, which no one really knows that show other than me, but that's beside the point. But this is, you know, I mean, let's face it. What other villains are there that are female that are as vile? One thing is you don't see many female villains, not nearly as much as male. So I don't care who you mention. If you have to put it in terms of a female villain, she's number one, period. There's no one even close. Not even fucking close. You would agree?
I would agree. That's just... Ugh. You know, it's dark, it's twisted, but then when you add in that whole incestuous thing, that like puts it to a whole new level of... You creepy. You bad. And I'm not,
no, and
I'm
of
not
course,
trying
this
to
is
be silly. I'm being serious.
So they can't really, you know, focus on it. They have to sort of animate it a little bit, right?
Right. Right.
You know, they you know, now I do have something else to say, okay? And this is not the only film where she plays a despicable character. Unfortunately, the film I'm going to mention is something that hardly anyone knows. It is available on YouTube in a very bad cut, unfortunately. It's called Something for Everyone. And it's basically about Michael York, and it's set in Germany, and he's a ne'er-do-well. He ends up at this castle, and she's the matron of the castle, Angela Lansbury. And he basically is fucking everyone, no matter what sex it is, right? And she joins him in trying to retrieve her fortune, and it's fucking twisted as hell. And it's funny as hell too, but yeah, she did have a predilection of playing pretty nasty characters, and she's even said, you know, that she loved Jessica Fletcher, but she also loved taking a break by doing a character that was
a lot more evil and a lot more fun to play. And so
right.
Yeah, she's up there. So you know, as far as everything you've seen of Angela Lansbury and what you know of her, where would you rate this particular film? Is this one of her?
My experiences with Angela Lansbury are actually rather limited, to be honest. I've seen her in Bedknobs and Broomsticks, of course, Beauty and the Beast, and of course, Murder, She Wrote. So I've always known her as the more family-friendly character. But seeing her like this was impressive.
Yeah.
Very.
Yeah.
She can do evil with the best of them, just like Vincent Price and Christopher Lee. That was very impressive.
You know, in another film, let's not forget that she made her debut in Gaslight and as a supporting actress, and she did very well in that. So she's been a superb actress all her life. And this, to me, is her best performance by far, because I can't think of anyone who's more fucking evil. Seriously.
Yeah, she was quite impressive.
Yeah. Well, for those that are listening, I want to thank you all for joining us for this. I'm very, very glad you did so. Now, I do have a couple things that are going on here. I've got to get to our episodes here momentarily, so give me a second. So tomorrow we have Rock This Town, a radio with TC, and I'm going to be co-hosting it with him. And we're going to be doing a show basically on two record labels, Stax versus Chess, and I have the Stax label. He has the Chess label. I was just on vacation in Memphis, and I was able to get to the Stax Museum. So TC has I'm loaded for bear on this, and so is TC. So that's going to be a great one. Okay, on the 8th, we are having a very special episode, and that's Tuesday. And it's Christmas in November. Love it or hate it, it's here to stay. So all of us at Deviant Leaping are going to be joining in for a couple minutes as Rachel and I host, and we're going to be going crazy on what we love and hate about Christmas in November. And trust me, it'll probably be more hate than love. I'm just saying. Now Wednesday, I'm passing it over to you, Doc. What do you got on Wednesday?
Wednesday, we are starting a new show called Voices from the Bog. And it's going to be kind of like a news report type show. It's a couple of reviews here and there. Different things are going to be chatted about. And it's going to be a shorter form show. We're not going to be doing like, you know, an hour, 2 hours. We might be doing a half hour to 45 minutes every other week due to time constraints and some other things. But, yeah, it's just going to be like a little, hey, how's it going type thing. And, you know, this is what happened in the news that we found kind of interesting. And there's something you might be bringing back too, Carl, right?
Oh, yeah, I'll be on there. And I think we might be doing that. We might be bringing back the swing. If not this week, certainly by the second week of the show. But this is going to be a recurring show. I think we're looking at it at every other week, right, Doc?
Right. We're actually, the first episode here is going to be, well, I'm going to talk about a couple things that have really been, well, I just want to say nuked into my life very quickly recently. And, there'll be more details when we actually have the show, but it's several things that are actually going on that are very big and very heavy, and I need to kind of get out. And I'm actually going to be sharing the show on YouTube, so we're going to see how that experiment comes out also. But yeah, this is it's going to be what's been going on with me, and we're going to move from there to some interesting news that's been going on, and a couple little neat dental factoids that are coming that have just been released upon the world.
Okay, and what I can tell you is on Thursday we're going to continue our Doctor Who Part 4, and that's with Rachel and Miss Vicki Love, and that's going to be Monsters and Aliens from Doctor Who Part 2. Then on Friday, Cathode Ray Mission is going to be with Adam Ferenc. It's going to be doing a show on Forbrød Nielsen, which is also known as The Killing. It's a Danish police procedure drama, and he'll be doing that on Friday the 11th. And a week from today, though we have not picked it out, we're going to be doing another commentary watch. I think what we're going to do is films that we're thankful for or films that are turkeys. One of the two. So we're going to be doing that.
What about yeah. films that are turkeys that we're thankful for?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh,
I had to look at it.
Yes. And I don't think we're going to be doing Blood Freak this year. We just have overdone that. That is, of course, my favorite pro-Christian anti-drug mutated turkey monster movie. And we do recommend that for people, but maybe we'll just post a previous commentary watch on that. But there you go. That's what we've got for this coming week. I want to thank everybody for joining us, very much for doing this. I'm glad you enjoyed the movie.
Oh, me too. I'm very pleasantly surprised.
Well, I did tell you it was good.
Did you tell you that.
I have good taste.
Yes, you do. Yes, you do.
So, folks, I want to say thank you, and I think at this point it's time for us to say goodnight.
Yes. Good night, everybody.
Good night.